Blog Talk Radio.
I like that, y'all.
I've had my share of heartache, but I'm still here. Trouble, I've seen my share of trouble. I am.
Welcome, 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 and thank you for tuning in. This is a Hodge to Hodge podcast, the Messenger Edition. We have co-producers Ken and Ron Hodge, and I am Nurse Carmen. And again, we thank you for tuning in. And next, we will be having a conversation with the Messenger, Ron Hodge.
Good evening and welcome once again to our conversation. Tonight we're going to start off just because I have the blessing of having my co-producer in the studio tonight. And we're going to be talking a little bit about Easter. Easter Sunday. Now, he's been calling me all day, talking all day, that he had a lot of questions. And so what I'm going to do as we start off this podcast, I'm going to open it up for my co-producer so that he can say what he wants to say and ask what he wants to ask.
Good evening. So, yes. You know, first of all, you're right. I'm happy to be on the podcast tonight. Work schedule allows that this week. But it all happened in on the right timing, because today being Easter, today being a holiday that people celebrate, and I don't think they fully understand, or excuse me, we have different understandings of why we celebrate it. And I'm going to tell you, me personally, I celebrate it now only because it's time off from, it's not even time off from work. I don't know if I even celebrate it. Is there, I remember back in the day celebrating was you got a new suit when you went to church. That's what it was, right? That was, you know, everybody went to church on Easter. Again, maybe something that small no longer applies to me anymore. But, you know, when we talk about Easter and we talk about the story, the Bible story that lends itself to Easter, it just makes me ask questions as far as when we start with the Last Supper. Is it the understanding that we should have that Jesus got with all his disciples, and he knew that this was going to be it? I mean, you know, like kind of like Malcolm had that feeling the night at the Audubon Ballroom. I mean, being for real. But he knew this was going to be it. And he also knew that somebody was going to betray him. That's what that's how the story goes, right?
Right. That's how it goes.
Help me if you could, because I don't want to get it wrong. But let's just stay with those two points right there. And the question I think I asked you before the show came on, what was, and again, folks, this is conversation. This is hopefully to help us to think a little differently. But what was Judas's betrayal? Because he told, was the word nobody tell where he is? But if you're Jesus, I mean, you know, if you that guy, how can you're not slipping in and out of town like that? So wherever you were, people knew where you were. So the fact that Judas told for money, Judas is forever known as the rat, the betrayal. His name, if you say somebody's a Judas, that means he a turncoat. But what did he do that was so wrong?
Well, once again, because of the fact that we're basing someone's account of the events as gospel, and this is where we're going wrong with, and that even goes back to what I've been saying throughout all of my different podcasts with regards to the Bible. We take that as gospel, and what we have to first understand is it is not gospel. What it is someone's account of an event. And you and I can look at an event and we can both come up with different accounts of that event. We have to take in mind with regards to what they said what Judas did originally was he was the one who with the kiss on the cheek or wherever he kissed him at, that was the betrayal, because that let them know who Jesus was. But if you stop and think about it just for a moment, who did not know who Jesus was?
That
he needed a kiss.
Yes.
Where could he be hiding at? Exactly.
Right.
So these things are known because we want to leave the story and not the sense that God gave us. We follow blindly behind certain things. We follow behind it. Judas, they want to condemn Judas, but then we want to praise Resurrection Sunday. Don't you know if it was not according to the story? If it was not for Judas, there would not have been a Resurrection Sunday. So how, and this is the same thing that we do, we just want to place blame and stuff all over the place, but not where it belongs. If the story is accurate, Judas did what it was that he was supposed to do. So it's not betrayal. Because if Jesus hadn't died, then quote unquote, Jesus wouldn't have resurrected. Which we'll get into that as well.
Yeah, we will.
Because the things in which we're talking about and we went on to believe for so many years, most of our lives, we have to stop and understand who we are. And that when you come to know who you are, then you can see the fallacy in these stories that have been told to you. Did Jesus die? I'm not here to say he didn't die, resurrected or crucified, as they say, but it wasn't for the reason in which people want to give it the reason. Jesus cannot die and save you. And no matter what you want to think of, think about me or anything, but Jesus did not die to save you. Jesus died so that you might have life. And what I mean by have life is that you might come to better understand who you are. That's the eternal life that Jesus gave you, not this repenting thing. For there is nothing for you to repent for. And people find that hard to believe. They just can't believe the promises of God. They rather believe the promises of the Bible or the promises of the preachers or the teachers. They won't believe the promises of God. Jesus said, I came that you might have life and have life more abundantly. This was the purpose of him dying on the cross, per se. And then he rose.
So if we were to look at that in another light, we could also say that Jesus having his life taken was to show us that, again, there is no greater life than to live for God. And the fact that you take my life in this body, I understand because of my connection that you just take a part, a very small part. I'm still going to be that which I'm going to be.
That's right. That goes the same for each and every one of us. Our problem is we don't know who we are, and we think we are our body. We think this body that we look in the mirror and see, we think that that's who we are. That's just a small part of who we are. Jesus knew this. So Jesus dying on the cross, that wasn't as mind-boggling to Jesus as it was to everyone else. Because Jesus knew he was going to live again. He told him, I'll be back in 3 days. He told him this. So he took the sting out of death, and he was trying to show us the exact same thing. When it says you cannot enter into the kingdom unless you come through Jesus, and all he was referring to with that is unless you see and understand what it is that I'm telling you. I'm telling you that.
Not you have to be it. Not come get me. Let me open the door for you. No,
right.
Just understand the message, and you have your own keys.
That's right. You have them. Why? Because you and I are one. So that's if we really want to look at it, that's like saying my left hand is going to get into heaven, but my right hand can't. It's impossible because it's all part of the whole. But because we don't know who we are, we think we got to sit here and beg and plead for God, who already said he's got agape love for us. And see, once again, one of our last three or so podcasts, we spoke about this love that God has for us. This agape loves mean, whereas you might do something to make me mad, and then I'm not having anything else to do with you. God does not have that type of love. And besides, God can only love you. Why? Because you are a part of God. And people just can't seem to understand this. God's great promise, we just believe that it's too good to be true. It's got to be some kind of consequences. Because we have consequences here on earth, we think God has consequences. Instead of us trying to be more like God, we got God trying to be more like us. And so we missed the mark. over and over again, we keep missing the mark. We are part of the body of God. The things that, those great miracles and stuff that has happened to each and every one of us throughout our lives, around when these miracles was happening or after they were happening, it was nobody there but you. But we rather give it to God. And please understand what I'm saying. We rather give it to God, the man up in the clouds, than understand it was the God within us. God is moving and actively working in our lives every minute of the day. Why? Because you're a part of him. And he is a part of you. And we can't accept that no matter what. We can't accept that. We have to believe that we were born in sin and shaped in iniquity. And with us believing that, we have to understand that we've already disbelieved what it is that God has done. Everything God created was good. But then they want to come back and say stuff like, well, yeah, if it was good, but then it turned bad. No, if God created it good, it's going to stay good. God we're talking about. Now, if I create something bad, good, there's a possibility. Well, no, it's not a possibility. But this is what we have to understand. And we won't try to even open up our minds to begin to think of just how special we are. Go ahead.
But then I have to ask the question then. Again, just from your knowledge and your teachings, why do you think it is so important? I'm talking going back hundreds of years, ever since it was decided that they're going to start calling the book the Bible the inestimable word of God. Why do you think that was so important that these stories be told?
These stories were told as a way of control to keep people in place, in their place. This is why it was told. Because if you came to find out that you're a God and you don't need the slave master or whoever, then you walking on your own accord. And that might create some friction. Because why? Because you're not doing as I want you to do. And even to this day, if you go to any church, any religion, you've got a man or a woman, mostly men, telling you what you need to do for your life to be pleasing to God. And they've told us this so many times. There are so many things that we can do that we don't do because of fear that they have placed in us, even though that same word tells us God has not given us the spirit of fear. So if God hasn't given us the spirit of fear, why are we scared of everything? Why are we born again, fire baptized, and all of this stuff, but we're scared of everything? Because what we have been told, instead of believing who we are, because through some really trials and tribulations, we overcame it. But we only overcame when we down inside and listened to the God within us, not the God up in the clouds or the mountaintop, the God that was within you. How many nights have you laid awake in the bed talking to God, asking him to work things out? And then you get up in the morning and you make one phone call and everything is all worked out. Or you receive a call or something and it's worked out. And it was nobody but you. It's you and God, but it's you because you are a part of God. But we can't grasp that. We can't let go of the fact that we are no good, and we have sinned and come short of the glory, when we have not. That's all part of the free will. You can't give me free will and be mad at me because I did something of the opposite, which you gave me a choice to do. You can't be mad at me unless you're basing it upon how we do things. I got 50 cent in one hand and 75 cent in another hand, and I tell you take from which hand, and you take the 75 when I really wanted you to take the 50, then I'm upset because you got the quarter more. I'm upset, but not God. I gave you the 50. I gave you the 75. Whichever one you take, it's cool. We can't believe that, though. We believe that God is some vengeful, jealous God that's sitting up looking at us, making sure we bow down and worship him. God is deity. God does not need a single thing from us. And if we were doing anything contrary to what it is that God really wanted for our lives, wouldn't it be just so simple that God would just say, no more? But we think, once again, he's one of those punishing gods that, no, not no more. I'm going to make you I'm going to punish you for eternity. Is this a God that we're talking about, or a jealous king or something? We just grabs hold of everything. Just so you know, Easter, there's absolutely no connection whatsoever between the resurrection of Jesus Christ and the current modern-day tradition related to Easter. Easter came along to make Christianity more attractive to non-Christians. The ancient Roman Catholic Church mixed the celebration of Jesus' resurrection with celebrations that involved spring fatality. These spring fatality rituals are the source of the egg and the bunny tradition. And this is how we got Easter. But you can't tell a lot of the religious folks that. It's automatically Easter Sunday. No, if you want to call it anything, you can call it Resurrection Sunday. But even that is not correct. Why is it not correct? Because you cannot die. You cannot die. You are part of the body of God. And when the body ceases to be, that does not mean you die. The body is just a part of you.
Oh, because you had me nervous for a minute there, Brother Messenger, when you said you cannot die. Okay, I got to hold on to hear this, but I understand.
Well, I'll tell you this then, just as a flashback, just to give you a point of reference for you. How many people do you know that have experienced death in their family or in their lives? And then 2 days later, 3 days later, a week later, a year later, that person appeared back to them again.
A lot. I know a lot of people that has spoken on that.
And when that person comes back to them, that person doesn't come back to them in a dead-like state. Person comes back to them glowing. Soothing, letting that other person know it's going to be all right. And this has happened with not only quote-unquote religious people, but some people in whom we thought there is no way with the stuff that that person did, there is no way that person is quote-unquote going to heaven. But that person comes back with the exact same story as a person that stayed in the pulpit all their lives. We have to understand God has no respected person. Why? Because God is that respected person. We are all one. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. Now, I'm going to stop for a moment and I'll just have somebody tell me what does fullness mean? What is the fullness?
That means everything.
If it means everything, then doesn't that mean you? And doesn't that mean me?
Yes, it does.
Right. So, but we're here, right, study, separating, determining who going where. As I've said so many times, people don't want to accept Hitler went to heaven. You know why Hitler went to heaven? Because there was nowhere else for him to go. If you're sitting around here thinking that God created a place of fire that you would spend eternity in, then you don't know God. You only know what you're reading about. How can someone so loving, so kind, understanding, then all of a sudden reach a point where he pissed off? And because he's pissed off, he's going to create a fire that burns you eternally forever and ever and ever. Wouldn't it be more simple for God if you did something so outrageous that he didn't want to have anything else to do with you? Just say the word and you're gone? To be no more ever, ever again? But he can't. You know why he can't? Because you are a part of him. And we can't accept that fact that that's who we are, even though we have represented him in so many different ways. Jesus said, all good and perfect gifts come from where? All right. All good and perfect. That was Mother Mac. Thank you, Mother. All good and perfect gifts come from God. That's what Jesus said, right?
Yes.
And we want to take Jesus at his word. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. So now we want to take Jesus at his word. Have you ever given a good gift? Hello.
Yes. Yes.
You have?
Yes, of course.
Okay, so now let's just go over that again. All good and perfect gifts come from God.
Mm-hmm.
You've given
us
a good gift.
And we are part of God, so yes, we've given good gifts.
This
yes.
is what we have to understand, but we don't
Amen.
See it in that. We don't see it in that manner. What we rather do is see it in a manner in which the man up above took care of it for us, and understanding that we did that. And we have to understand the same way. I'm sorry, I keep getting an echo from Mother, but this is the same principle that applies to this being we call the devil. Stop calling it a devil. You did it. If you take a look at anything that went wrong per se, you stop for a moment and, as Mother liked to say, count up the costs, and you'll see that it was something that you did.
Amen, amen. Mm-hmm.
But instead
mm-hmm.
of wanting to take responsibility for it, we placed it
we
on this,
the devil.
This
That's
thing
right.
called the devil.
That's right.
We do That's something right. good, we can't even accept that. We place that on God, not understanding mm-hmm. that we are one.
Mm-hmm.
So this is what we've got to understand. We've got to allow God to talk to us, and we can't allow God to talk to us as long as we keep walking around here thinking that we already know God, because we've read the 62 books in the Bible. We know from the Old Testament to the New Testament. Does anybody stop and ask yourselves, when was that Bible written? Are you telling me that God has not had a word for us since then? Since John on the island of Patmos closed the book of Revelation, they have not had another word. God is talking to us every single day.
That's right.
It's just a question of who will listen.
When you hit the John on the island of Patmos, you know
uh-huh.
where my thought went, right?
I know, and people don't understand that, but uh-huh. they take it as gospel. Oh, we can't do no drugs. That's no good for you. But don't they understand that's what John was doing? Huh? John was out there with the mushrooms. And I got to tell you, I mean, you got to see this for what it really is now. Now, those mushrooms were God's creation. But what do? We call it bad. Now, I ain't telling nobody to go out there and eat a bunch of wild mushrooms. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying how we like to fit things into our neat little thing, and we're missing the mark for what it is that God had in store for us. Each and every day, God wants you to strive to be the best you that you can be. And I got to tell you, you cannot be the best you that you can be if you're only listening to me. Because then you become the best you that I want you to be.
You know, Brother Messenger.
Yes, sir.
I don't mean to cut you off there. When I'm thinking about this Easter, the story that we've been led to believe for so long, I remember I go back to the days when I was forced. It was against my will. I want to let it be known. No, remember Mom used to have us go do all them Bible studies, man. Well, I'm sorry. You wouldn't know nothing about that, huh?
I do.
You wouldn't know nothing about that. And I'm
Madison
not going to get started
Fridays.
On that.
Madison Ave Fridays, right?
Yeah, thank you. But anyway, we used to go to Madison Ave Baptist Church. And I used to win all them Bible studies. I remember I still remember this fact. When I learned in one of the Bible classes that when Jesus died, he supposedly went to hell and held a revival for 3 days. And again, not many people knew that at the time. So I always thought that was just some brilliant information to have. But as I think about it more and more, I guess there was a different reason why I held on to that. And I don't know if that just don't fit the profile now that I'm older and look at it. You mean to tell me that Jesus went to a place where people were suffering, offered them 3 days, I'm just saying, 3 days of comfort, then back to where you were? Because he didn't take anybody with him. I mean, you know what I'm saying? So I guess my reason for remembering that fact, you know, as you grow and learn different things, it became a different reason for me. And the reason was more like, maybe that, you know, that didn't happen. That didn't happen like that. I was trying to, a nice way to put that. But that's what I get out of it now. Because now I think, how can the God that I love and serve, I mean, again, is that considered an act of kindness? I'm suffering for all eternity, but you're going to give me 3 days of cool water and soothing words, and then I'm back to suffering. Does that not sound like it's more suffering?
No, because it's a metaphor. And here's what the metaphor is, that he died, and as I said earlier, he took the sting out of death so that people can stop being afraid of dying. Why? Because it is so much better. Nobody's in a rush to get there, but it's so much better on the other side. So those 3 days, I don't know where they came up with the 3 days. I guess the 3 days was the first time that they seen him after the crucifixion. So maybe that's where they came up with that. But the body died. The moment the body died, he still lived on. His soul lived on. What did he say? I give you my, at this time, I now give you my soul. I'm paraphrasing, but that's what he said on the cross.
And when he came back, when he met his disciples, for them not to recognize him, does that mean he picked up a new body? Because now, don't get me wrong, and I'm just looking at this, understanding why I believe this story. But no, if he was gone for 3 days, did he get a new body? Why would his disciples not recognize him?
I think it was just, if we just gonna go along with the story, I think it's because they seen him hanging on the cross and they didn't know what he was talking about when he said 3 days. So if you okay. If you put somebody in the ground and you see them the next day, you ain't gonna be too sure who that is.
You look like my man Jesus.
Right? Yeah, you look like him, but I don't know who you are. So I would go with that one. Why they didn't recognize him? But then I think they didn't recognize him. Why? Because he returned in the spirit form. Now, in the spirit form, you can have the projection of who you are. The same way these people come back to each and every one of us that have passed on, that's in the spirit form. And in the spirit form, you can be and do whatever you want. You are omnipresent. Why? Once again, because you are part of the body of God. And I don't want to keep harping on it to make somebody thinking that I'm trying to say that you are somebody extra special. We are all the same. You, me, Hitler, Jesus, God. We are all the same because it is nothing but God. Earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. So if we want to believe that part of the scripture, then we have to understand the fullness thereof includes each and every one of us. It also includes the trees, the bees, the plants.
So then if we are to believe that we are all a part of God, then I think would it be wise to say that the sum of the pieces is not greater than the whole?
Talk, bro. Talk. That's right. You are 100% correct. But that doesn't stop you from being it. If I go to the ocean and take a glass of water out of the ocean, does that stop that water from being ocean water that's in my glass?
Nope.
Not a little bit, no.
No.
So this is what we have to understand. We have to realize who we are. And it's a good thing for us to do is wake up tomorrow and decide how you want your day to go. And seek, don't you create it that way? How many of us went to bed last night and said, you know what, I'm not going to work tomorrow? We just created our day. We just started with the creation of our day. We create it. There are no coincidences. Everything is happening because this is what we are creating it to do. Why? Because we were made in the image and likeness of God. Because we have the characteristics of God. Because as the brother just got finished saying, the sum is not greater, but it's great. But that's even why the word also says, wherever two or more are gathered in my name. Why? Because now that sum becomes even more powerful. Why? Because you've got three of them together instead of one. Now, that one can do whatever it wants to do, but you add a couple more to it, that's just more and more power. Everything that is happening because we have decided for it to happen. We are creators. We have to understand that. We're not in this trap where we're bound for hell. There is no hell. And as soon as we can start to get this type of stuff out of our mind, that's why Brother Paul said, but people don't understand that. Brother Paul said, we have to first renew our minds because we got this twisted. And this is why I'll go back to the Bible again. There is so much inspiration in the Bible. But we've taken the inspiration and made it God's word. And just for an example, Job, let's use Job, or as some people like to call him, Job. Let's use him for example. Do you really think God would bless him with thousands and thousands of land, thousands and thousands of animals, numerous children, then to allow, quote unquote, the devil to prove a point, God would allow that to be taken from them? Cause all of this stuff to come up on them? I'm here to tell you right now, if there was any way possible, you go back and you, if the story is true, you go back and you search Job, you'll find out Job did something why that happened to him. And then they want to spruce the story up and saying that, okay, after he passed the test, God blessed him tenfold. But how can God bless him tenfold if he took all his kids away from him? You could be a parent of five and take those five away and get another 10. You still can't forget about those five. But it's what we are allowing ourselves to believe because we feel that we're not worthy. And I have come on this podcast every Sunday and Thursday night at 8 o'clock to let you know who you are. You are part of the body of God.
Yeah.
Now, I thank you all, Brother Co-Producer. I do truly thank you for stopping in and checking in on us. I pray that you'll be able to check in a little more often on us. And I hope something was said here tonight that will allow people to go within. Go within. Remember what I say. If you don't go within, you will go without. God is standing knocking on the door. All you have to do is open up. Open up and hear what saith the Lord. He's talking to you. God bless you all. I love you all so much. Once again, we'll be back Thursday night, 8 o'clock. God bless you.
Well, I just had that I'm in Gethsemane feeling right now.
All right, so now.
I almost went to Saplands.
All right, man. Hey, my brother, peace and blessings, man.
Bless you, bro. All
right, mother.
Good night.
Good night, mother.
Good night.
Mother,
you.